You're on. You're up. You're going.
Going.
If you owe,
yeah, what's up, Ron?
What did it say there? If you owe, would you give your turn, sir?
Good, my friend, brother. Get it going. I didn't expound upon the verses too much this week, so. All right, my good friend and pastor, did you want to open in prayer, Greg?
What's that?
You want to open in prayer? All right.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to this place and spend time on your word. We thank you for John's willingness to study, to that we would benefit from his study, and that we would be able to direct our lives and, according to the very mind of Christ that we find in his word. Pray that
you
open our hearts and lives to
accept
it from your word tonight.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, I know that usually I got a pretty broken down, elaborate way. The interesting thing is, before we get her going, is that this week I finally had a big turn as far as everything that I was searching for, that I was trying to share and teach and that we could grow in, is how to define and what we are supposed to do in our conditional walk. And so what I'm going to try to do to the best of my ability, we're going to just go down verse by verse for me to share with you what I believe is the one way, in a very simplistic way, of our conditional walk. The only thing that I would hope and pray is that, and I know it's kind of an odd thought, but to, instead of, in most cases, trying to see the complexity or all the different areas of it, try to keep your mind to the absolute most simplistic level as you can. Just to absolute simplicity. And therefore we can try to work together as best as possible. And we'll just cruise along here, okay? The need of love in all things. 1 Corinthians 14:33. I think it's a good verse to start off in so that we completely understand. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. The very first thing that pops up in my mind to be able to explain that is that from the beginning of mankind, God has continued to make it simpler for us along the course of period to come to the point of salvation. And as far as, you know, being able to come to that point. Because, from the beginning of mankind, Satan has done nothing but continue to cloud, confuse, and grow in anything for us to blind us from the simplistic truth. So, Ephesians 4:19. What I want to do here, in the next couple of verses, is I want to show that the root of both the will of us, or the will of the flesh, and the root of the will of God. So, Ephesians 4:19, if I can get there too, we'll see, look at a couple of verses to clear, or to expound. 4:19. Who being past, dealing, for being past, having given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. And the point there is that we see that all uncleanness is with greediness. Before we expound, let's just look at 1 Timothy 6:3-10 to then bring all the points together. You know, one thing before we continue, I thought it was just a beautiful thing. Brian's message this morning was very wonderful. We are the temple of God. But we grow. There is a growth. And we don't feel like we're the temple of God. And that was one of the, when you don't feel like that and then you're brought back to it. And again, what I believe to be absolutely true is that you can come to that simplistic knowing. Anyway, the beautiful thing is that his message this morning, it's just amazing how the effectual working of God intertwines as far as with the body of Christ, because it completely intertwines with this message. Okay, 1 Timothy 6:3-10. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud. Now, this proud is a foundation, okay? Knowing nothing, but dotting about with questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. So just from that aspect of pride, once you have opened the door and you have gone in that direction, you have now opened up a chain link effect of all the evil works of the flesh. And the interesting thing is to touch on too is supposing that gain is godliness. That is a culmination I think we should finish before it is. And I do. I know that I am not supposed to apologize. But the very interesting thing is I actually had to do this now 3 times, and I practiced with Marissa again today. And because everything else I've been able to clarify and break down to a simplistic level, but it kept changing every time that I had this. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Pretty crazy thought, eh? But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, greed, is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So we see clearly here that greed, gain, anything that pertains to you gaining of this world in any way, shape, and form, or claiming or taking in any way for self gain, comes from greed in any way, comes from pride, and it's kind of the same chain react. Okay, so that is the foundation of that aspect. 2 Corinthians 9:7-8. I'm going to go to that, and then we'll go back to Ephesians 4:15. 2 Corinthians 9:7-8. And I know that this is, simplistic stuff, folks, but I think that just do me a favor and just stick with me with the simplistic aspect of it, because I think that's what's absolutely key with this study. 2 Corinthians 9:7-8. We've heard the first one over and over again. Every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful or joyous giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So therefore, If we, the beautiful thing is our amazing God has always left it up to us. We have the choice of free will. We have the choice of free will in our position. You either choose to come and to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, okay? In every way, shape, and form, and we don't need to expound upon that. And then after that, you still have, it's all your purpose. It's all what is in your heart. You can either choose to do what God would have you do, or what the flesh would have you do. Now, the interesting thing is that we are to give. We are to be givers, not takers. But we are to be givers, and we have to be, in a sense, a cheerful giver. So therefore, there has to bring you, it is joyous. You bring joy. And the opposite is not of necessity or grudgingly. So therefore, if you are a giver, and you do it out of necessity, you cannot then have verse 8. And instead of keep going down here, I think it's important that we continue to keep it as simple as possible. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I lied. I can't do it like that. We'll come right to it. We'll come right to it. I gotta show you so Ephesians 4:15. I do apologize. I shouldn't apologize, right? Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So, if we are to speak truth in love, allows us the ability in our Christian walk to grow in all things, to grow up into Him in all things. Making a very, and I will surely continue to expound upon how this is the only way. If you speak truth in love, and we understand that the Word of God is truth, and and you don't even need to turn there because it's only one part of the verse that Brian mentioned, and I know I mentioned it many times over, but I just want you to grasp the one part of the verse, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner. It is a judge. This is our justly judge, okay, of the thought and intent and heart. So therefore, we understand that the Word is our ability to judge of where our purpose is, where our heart is. Okay. That's all I want to do. So if we can go to then Corinthians chapter 13.
Okay.
1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. Though I speak, and this is Paul, and he is being absolutely honest, I think, in certain ways. Okay, so therefore, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So Paul is trying to tell you here that if I speak to men, and you know that he's speaking to men in truth, or and of angels, and what he does in many of these ways is he tries to expound to every degree to you that if you do not have love, if you do not do it out of the purpose of your heart to give and to give cheerfully, it would be better for you to not. It would be better for you to really truthfully say nothing at all, because it will actually, I guess, in a sense, sound the examples that he uses. Okay. Verse 2 was the absolute change that I finally realized, that expounded it all off. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. He is saying here that if you had everything, if you were filled to the absolute perfection of Christ in all ways, so that I could literally, by the faith of Christ, pick up the world in my hands, and I have that love, I am absolutely nothing. And that was the absolute culminating factor for me. I was like, that was amazing to me to realize that there is only one way. Okay. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profit me nothing. We see this as a living sacrifice. Well, to give you one quick example, because I need to give some examples as we go on. We see in Romans 12:1, make yourselves a living sacrifice. I don't want to get it, but anyway, we understand, which is a reasonable service. Thank you. So, and that's what the will of God is. And this right here is telling us to be a living sacrifice. But if I don't have love, it profit me nothing. I'm telling you right now, folks, if I decided right now that I'm going over to the middle of Islamic country and I'm going to start teaching every Islamic individual, okay, the word, the Christ, okay, knowing that in a heartbeat I'm going to be dead, would I have done that out of love? And you would know in your heart, it wouldn't take much to realize that you're doing it for your own, for whatever it is, for your own gain, for pride, saying, I'm going to do it. And that's what, and I just tried to give one quick example. Now, somebody else could be led to that point. The important thing is, once again, is that we understand that God is such a wonderful God that He works with us, mankind, that whether it be large steps or small, it is a growing process. And as long as we continue to give cheerfully, God will continue to abound in you and continue to fill you, and you will continue to give more and more in the way that God would have it be done. Okay? Charity suffereth long, and charity is kind. I shouldn't change that, because I want to say love, but you know that it's love, okay? Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Anything, if you feel in yourself at any point in time that something is not of the Spirit going on, anyway, the whole purpose of it is that in any moment, for any situation, with whatever it is you do, for whatever decision you have to make, think about it. Pray about it. Take a little time if you're not sure what the right decision is. Why am I doing this? God will share it to you. He is there if you just sit back and ask and think, am I doing this for myself or am I doing this for the will of God? Once you do that, and if you cannot make a decision, I'm telling you folks, in my God honest opinion, it's better to step away. It's better to say, just please give me some time. I don't want to make the wrong decision. And I know how absolutely everything that we have done for our entire lives in the world that we live in, whether you pump gas in your tank or anything that you do, is of this world, not Satan. Therefore, I just want to reaffirm and reiterate that it's a step-by-step process. God's willing to work with you. So, you know, don't... And that's why it's very important to realize to not jump in head first. You remember when we looked back first? No, we should be content with food and raiment. Now, if me and Marissa sold everything we had, packed everything we had, sold the car, and started walking around with food and clothing, teaching the Word of God, would that be for our purpose? I mean, would that really be for the purpose of God? Would that be a cheerful giver? I'm telling you, that's just silly. I mean, that's just crazy. It's impossible at this point in time because there's no way that I could possibly be cheerful. Could it come to that point down the road in a step-by-step process? Don't ever think that God cannot fill in all things if you continue the way that He would love and have you do. And I'm sorry, I would keep apologizing, but I just want to keep reiterating those points in. And I appreciate you guys keeping it simple with me, and we'll continue on. Okay. So, it's important to finish it off to 7. We don't need to keep expounding. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Okay. What do we got here? 2 Corinthians. I think it's important because Paul gives you a good example of the difference. 2 Corinthians 11:18. And I know that this is all that Paul goes through here, but it shows the amazing difference when you really look at it of what the flesh brings you as far as the strength the flesh actually gives you as opposed to the strength and power of God. We'll start at 18 to 21 and we'll stop for a moment. 18, 2 Corinthians 11:18. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalteth himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak, howbeit wheresoever wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. I think it's Paul saying, if you look at that and you find that to be bold, that's all you got, I will show you what God can do. I'm sorry. And 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And why he says I speak as a fool is because it would be prideful. I think it's important to kind of point some of them things out. I am more. I know that I lost. There we go. Okay, I'm sorry. Here we go. Hebrews, so am I. Israelites, so am I. I'm sorry. There we go. All right. Speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hungers and thirst, in fastings often, in cold nakedness. Besides all of those things are that which are allowed without, that which cometh upon daily, the care of all the churches. Paul shows his love throughout the epistle so much, and his concern for all the places that he went and taught, and all the people is just, I mean, truly a wonderful thing. Who is weak and I am not, and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. And if you could then go over to 12:9, and we will look at 12:9 and 10. For he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. And I know that we see this Paul's vision, and this is talking about it, but this explains, you know, in context to this again. For he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It's amazing to know that Paul was one of those men from 18 to 21 there, or 18 to 21, yeah. And he was a rock and roller. I mean, he was on top of the world and doing the will of God more than any man. And there are all kinds of people that are doing the will of God more than any man. The important concept is that if you do it after your own gain, you don't have God to be able to then work and abound in you so that you can truly, truly, what you decide, what you believe then is that I don't want to do it, or I shouldn't say that necessarily. I think a lot of times we just say we're going to get her done, and what you have to say to yourself is, I have come to the point then that I believe that I can get her done better, and I shouldn't say that because that's kind of, you know, maybe a knockdown type of thought. You see it so often, and keep moving on. Okay. Ephesians 3:16-20. I found it important to show it, that Paul or Christ shows you a little bit of insight as far as kind of the how, you know, the amazing working of it. 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might, by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. I have not had time yet to really study it into the four dimensions, but nonetheless we understand that we're in a three-dimensional world, so that's, you know, kind of an amazing thought in itself. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him... Folks, right there, is that is why you cannot explain it to people. Nobody can. There is no way that Paul could explain the absolute love he had grown and abounded in the workings of God in his life. You can't explain it. It's an experience that you only can experience yourself. And so therefore, it's you know, to know the love of Christ and to passive knowledge that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Once again, I think reiterating that 2 Corinthians 9:8. Him, when done, when you walk in the way that he only asks you to walk, to purpose in your heart to walk and give in a cheerful manner, not of necessity, he will be able to do anything and above anything that you could ever even comprehend or imagine, and you will continue to grow in that. And it really is an amazing, amazing thing. And I've got, you know, we've all gotten experience, little bits of it. But I think that we lose sight of the fact that we are given endless opportunities daily endless opportunities. Not, and once again, I have to reiterate it again. Don't do it of necessity. It'll gain you nothing. Chapter 13 of Corinthians, right? But if you purpose it in your heart, if you look to your heart and you realize that what you are doing, you truly want to give because it'll bring you joy to do the will of God, get her done. Okay. Philippians 3. Philippians 3:13. The important thing is because he says the one thing. Brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind. I think the important fact of that, what he's trying to show, and I'm sure there's far more to truth to understand, I think what he's trying to say is that he's not giving place to the devil in any way. He's not going to allow pride. He's not going to allow anything to any degree. He's not going to allow persecutions, sufferings, and afflictions to any degree, you know, to overwhelm him. Nothing. Just cut it off, and it doesn't matter anymore. All that matters is now. And that's what I think such a bummer with mankind too. People get overwhelmed. Like, you know, I've lived a long way like this, and you know, and now to change, you know, it's too late. All that matters is now. From now on, nothing matters in the past. All that matters is now, and that's what Paul says. This is the one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forth to those which are before. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And folks, that gives you such a humble mind. This is way after everything Paul had went through in 1 Corinthians. And Paul's telling you, he's still pressing on to Christ. And he has no idea, I mean, and we're never going to have the ability. I give no discreditation to God. I only give it to myself. Okay, that we're not going to get it. You know, we're not going to live the will of God like Paul did. So don't ever, you know, stress yourself out about how much you attain, how much you grow in Christ. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. If it's otherwise minded, and you search and you look to your heart, and I think he'll do it anyway. I'm not, you know, putting it in a box to any degree. But surely, if you look to your heart, I mean, he'll reveal it. He'll let you know. He's there for you. If you're walking the walk, and I mean, and you fall aside, what you're going to do, He'll reveal it to you. He'll let you know. Press onward. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul telling you that he had solid men of God walking the walk, you know, walking and doing this very same thing. And they fell aside. So I think it's a concept of caution to realize that it has give yourself no confidence. Have zero confidence in yourself. I think that's a very important thing that I touch from it. And I'm sure there's much more. That they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can keep going on, but I don't think it's quite necessary for the purpose. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, well, I hit that anyway. Okay.
Are you talking to yourself?
Yeah, a little bit. 2 Corinthians 4. And folks, I didn't bring it with me because it's really not necessary. We can go into a few examples to try to, you know, expound if we want to. But I think that these verses are a beautiful kind of outlook as far as the whole aspect of things. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. I'm not even. Yes. Okay. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry of reconciliation, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. The one thing I want to point out, I got a little point as far as the verses as we continue on, is that handling the Word of God deceitfully, okay? Once you look at this Word, once you see this, as all, even Paul was doing, all that God wants to do is teach us simplicity. And what happens is because we've been born and raised in complexity and confusion, and the world's only getting worse, all that time that we were raised, that's how we look at the Bible. And so the more complexity and the more confusion that you have had in your life, and obviously the more that you continue on makes it also difficult, but that's why it takes a long time to have people come along. And that's why it's so incredibly important that when you go to the unbeliever or the unlearned, that you bring them as simple of a message as possible. And the second saddest thing in the world, besides people never having a chance for eternity, you know, with eternity with Christ and with God, and is that the body of Christ brings people to Christ, and they accept Christ, and then they're completely lost, and they have no direction or insight, and You know, and I'm not trying to like be burned or overwhelmed or overwhelm you with those kinds of things. I'm just saying that that's why it's so important to share the simplicity to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, the simplicity. If you don't share simplicity, it makes it so much easier. It makes everything so much easier for you and everything that you do. Okay. By manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. Folks, these people that will hate you when you share Christ with them, there is absolutely no reason for you to get angry. Now, will you get angry from time to time because there will be things that they say? Yes, you will get angry. But they are blinded. They are completely blinded and have no chance because Satan has blinded them from the truth. And has given so many gains in this world, so much opportunity to take them away. And they don't have a chance. If mankind isn't sharing Christ, to give them a chance, they don't have a chance. Not because of their own fault. That the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. I think it's so incredibly important, folks, that we stick on the concept of Ephesians 4:15, only to speak truth and love and grow in all things with Christ. To share and try, and it's amazing how you believe something, and then as the Word of God continues to show you new truth, it's like, oh my goodness, I've been believing that the whole time and teaching others, and it's completely false. But to start off with the body of Christ, or with the unbelievers, and tell them, and try to intertwine with them, okay, to bring them to you, is not the way to go. Speak truth and speak it in love. Be cheerful, giving, loving, be bold. Truth. To speak Christ. And it makes it, as soon as things get complicated, as soon as it gets complex, you have now made it that much more difficult for both you and them to have Christ and have truth and the gospel shared to them. Servant to Jesus Christ, you say, for God who hath commanded the light to shine out of the darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now what I believe, and which isn't very important nonetheless, but I think that this is explained that in a sense that we're just vessels. I think it's also a very humbling thing. I think it also shows you to have zero confidence. But if you don't believe that, that's okay. That's not what's important. The important thing is the second half of the verse anyway, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Have zero confidence in your power, because you have none. It is all you, but you do have free will, which is just an absolutely amazing, beautiful thing. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. The important concept is that as our body continues to actually become more and more destitute, become more and more beaten, battered in every way, shape, and form, that is the way to allow Christ to shine. That when we are weak, Christ is strong. Okay. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken, we also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. I should explain to you. I'm sure you probably got most of it. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus, obviously God the Father, shall present us with you, for all things are for your sakes. And what he's showing here is that you are on track. Okay? Everything that we have done is death to our mortal bodies, but life to you. Everything is for your sakes. Okay? And the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound in the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I think, you know, it's the reason why you don't faint is because the abundant grace of God that will fill you as you carry on will continue to lift you, hold you, keep you far, far above, and you will continue to grow and in all things, in truth, in love, and boldness, and confidence, and standing in every way, shape, and form. And as you continue to do it in truth and in love, nothing will be ever overwhelm you. But once again, Paul showed, you know, back in Philippians that you always have the choice. You always have the purpose in your heart. At any moment, in any situation, you can choose to no longer go in that direction and start doing things, start giving of necessity. Saying, I need to push harder. Or anything. Folks, I tell you to be absolutely true that that God gives you so many ways. Prayer, meditation, truth. As you continue to go along those things, and even when you make mistakes, if you still look to your heart and say, was that the right decision? Did I do it right? I thought I did then, but I got to be honest. I have to be truthful. Where do I find truth? I find truth here. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why any man in this world, if they choose to search for truth and study the Word, they don't need anybody to teach them right division. They will be led to it. I guarantee you. Guaranteed done deal. If you do all things by truth, by the Word of God, by nothing but the Word of God, and you do it in love, being joyous in your giving. A simple example of, let's just use the example of offering. If I give $20, and that is a cheerful, you know, it is cheerful, it brings me joy, okay, and no necessity. If $21 makes me feel like I just, you know, you start questioning and things like that, it would be far better for you to drop back down to 19, is all I'm saying. And I tried to use just a silly example because I believe that we are put to the test more and more. And as you continue to grow, you will be continued to be persecuted and put to the test more and more. It will not stop. It will actually come on far more. But the beautiful thing is, as you continue to grow in truth, as you can continue to grow in love, everything becomes so much simpler. So simple. All you have to do is find the foundation. The foundation, the root of why it is that you are doing what you're doing, why they are doing what they're doing, to share with in all things, or why things are doing anything. Anything and all things. It just starts becoming far more simple. And we all know that. We all know that to be absolutely true. Because things have surely in all of our lives, to whatever degree, have continued to be simplified. But we all, if I were to ask every single, you know, and most of Christendom, how many ways is there to succeed in our position in the heavenlies? Most all of them would say one. But man, Satan is amazingly powerful. I think that mankind has lost, you know, some sight of that too. That God is not a God of confusion. He tries to make it as simple for you as possible. He doesn't want to be to have you be get caught up with confusion and complexity. He wants you to know how truly simple all things are in all ways, shape, and form. And if you guys want to mention something, I just wanted to kind of get through that. And now we can go into a couple little interesting other verses just to kind of finish her up for the last few minutes, you know, maybe to kind of shed a little bit of light on that. We're good? What I thought was a pretty interesting one, I think, that pops off the top of my head is 2 Peter. Actually, never mind. I think this is important. And let's go to 1 Corinthians. Because I was trying to share with Marissa earlier. And there's all kinds of beautiful points to argue this. But folks, the point of it is, the whole point of all this is that we are well rooted. All of us in here are well rooted. We know truth. We could talk truth and talk love and things that literally the unlearned, unsaved, they don't even know what you're saying. They have no clue. Okay? And even the babes in Christ. So therefore, it's very important that we share with each other and grow with each other. What is it? Iron sharpens iron? Or is that the verse? Anyway, where we continue to uplift each other and edify each other in the Word. Okay? But with the unsaved, with the unbeliever, with the unlearned, with the babes in Christ, give them the ground root so that they can build up from the ground and have that ground base. You give them the ground, everybody gives them the ground base positionally, but it's very important to give them the ground base conditionally so that they start from the right point. And I know, anyway, I thought Mercy had brought up as far as, well, how does this work with as far as speaking in tongues? Now this is how I see it in its simplicity.
Where are you at?
I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. To show the absolute clarity of how it is not, it is no longer going on. 1 Corinthians 14, and we're going to kind of move around here, but verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Step 1. When a man speaks of unknown tongues, okay, speaks in tongues. He is not speaking to men, he is speaking to God. The next step we see here is verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. The second half is important. Number one, he that speaketh in tongues is not speaking unto men, speaking unto God, and then God is then therefore edifying him. Last step. 6. Now, brethren, if I, Paul, come unto you, and I am speaking in tongues, how shall I profit you? For we know the ground basis of everything is to speak truth in love, to edify. All to edify. All to bring people to Christ and grow in Christ in all ways. It's all edification. So how could I profit you, edify you, okay, if I come to you speaking in tongues? What shall I profit you? Except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine. So step one, when you speak in tongues, you're not speaking to men, you're speaking to God. Step two, when you speak to God, He edifieth you. And then step three, rather you or another interpreter, however it works, then shares with others revelation, knowledge, or prophecy by doctrine. All of those things are the Word of God, the living Word of God. And so therefore, we all surely know, and every single man would agree, and if they didn't, then you can pretty much, I got one last step for you that you could work with. But if he doesn't agree that the Word of God is complete, that it's not done, then what they need to do in that church when it goes on is they need to ask, why wouldn't you then want to, if you are receiving revelation by God, sharing it with the rest of mankind and adding it to the Bible? Because the Word must not then be complete. It is simple as that. Because Paul tells you that he's speaking to God, God edifies him by revelation, knowledge, and prophecy, which is all doctrine, the Word of God. Okay. The important thing is Paul, you know, tells you, the last thing, I'm sorry. 23. If therefore the whole church become together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? I don't know if any of you have been in Pentecost church or anything of the sort, but that is exactly what goes on. And what he's telling you here is that if an unbeliever or an unlearned brother or sister in Christ come into that church and you're all speaking in tongues and all that's going on, they're going to think you're nuts. Okay? What profit that for them? Nothing. It is only gain for you. So, the only other way, just to clarify in the opposite, Paul even, and he expounds it such beauty and simplicity. Verse 3. But he that prophesieth, speaketh unto men to edification, and to exhortation, and to comfort. So prophecy, the word, the truth, okay, is unto men for edification, exhortation. Okay. And 5. Sorry, I get lost it for a second. Okay.
Verse 5.
Yeah, I was gonna mention that as far as okay. I would that all of you didn't speak with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. So it's all about edification once again. And there was one other verse, but I wasn't going to show this yet, but it's important to show the conclusion, which is 24 and 25. Gives you the opposite side. But if all prophecy, and there come in one that believeth not, or is unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God, and report that God is in you of a truth. Everything that God did, or everything that Christ did, prophets, apostles, speaking in tongues, signs, it was all for the edification of the children of God. In any way, shape, and form. Until it was no longer necessary. Needed. It's because the Word of God is complete. And therefore, if there is no purpose in edifying, if there is no edification, then you obviously know by the root of it that there is no love. There is no the giving is to just gain for oneself. I'll share just one last thing. Just one little fun thing as far as this. And this will be pretty quick. I hope you guys are enjoying our seminar. I just want to show from 1 John 3:7, just a couple little just how John looks at it in a couple verses, and how Peter kind of looks at all, truth and love and all that, it in just kind of a different ways. Okay, I think that 1 John 3:13 we'll look at just a quick little verse. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Don't get caught up. Don't be surprised. The world will hate you, and this is just all talking about speaking in love and truth. And 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brother. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby, and I don't want to get confused as far as like Peter and Paul, deed and in truth, you have to remember that our whole thing is to share truth and love. Okay. Anyway, one last thing as far as over here. Verse 6, 4:6. For we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I think that just shows you a real quick concept of it's important to know who you are dealing with, who the people that you're around, friends, family. It's what you're to do anyway, but it shows you a different concept as far as knowing where people's hearts are. And then verse 20, I thought was kind of an interesting little different concept, and I know we're espousing around here. I thought it was kind of a little interesting point. But verse 20, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Now, I don't want to go into depth with that. I'm just saying that I think it shows that perception of a simplistic approach. Okay. My last two verses, and we'll call our night, is that I think the most. It's 2 Peter at the very end there, chapter 3, verse 15. I just like it because Peter is, through the Word shows, is. It shows his encouragement, his of Paul and following in the same footsteps. 2 Peter 3:15. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Also, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also with other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. I like the concept. There's all kinds of good ones, but I think it shows here, and I haven't had time to go into depth study as far as wisdom, but I think wisdom is for me, because I thought of it as something else before, but I think wisdom is what you grow and gain in from both. That bond of your rooting of working truth in love. And as you continue to gain in that for your own benefit too, you get to gain wisdom in all things as far as you continue on in your walk. Any thoughts? Yes.
I just wanted to make clear that when you said giving, you didn't mean just money, you meant giving mowing your neighbor's lawn,
making more
for somebody. We just didn't make that real clear.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, I think I'm gonna pawn off on Jason using it for example. Last week Saturday, he was sick as a dog. You know, he showed me he has a massive yard, and I've never seen so many trees in my life in one yard. And his leaf count is unlike anything I've seen. Well, he had a game plan. He got her done. You know, even in his sickness, he had a blower. Blew them all in a long line. There was a lot of them, but called a couple guys on Craigslist, got her set up. They all came out, charging them multi-hundreds of dollars to take these leaves out of there. He's like, I just can't handle it. I can't do it, Josh. I can't. So, Jason, he's kind of he's like me. I don't really like asking, people for things. It's tough for me, and we are, hopefully I'm getting better, but, Jason threw me, Saturday morning, just like, hey, you want to come over and rake some leaves? And we had kind of plans to run around because, Pam and all of them had their things going on. But in my heart at that time, it brought me far more joy. And I knew that it was the right thing, and it was far, far more of a cheerful giving that I offered my services. He wanted my services, and I wanted to be there to help him out when the world's trying to screw him over, and we can get her done and hammer out and fellowship along the way. And so, yes, it works in all ways. I think that you give. I have all types of opportunity. I think that just with those opportunities, with all opportunities presented, with whatever labor, with that labor, allows you those opportunities then to fellowship, to grow, and to share in truth and love. And so therefore, I think that when it comes, my final last thought as far as, Brian's beautiful message as far as, how we are the temple of God, that we are, we're growing, we're positionally set, no doubt about it. But if you truly want to have peace, joy and love in your life, there's one clear, easy, simplistic way to go. And if you keep expounding upon that simplicity and keep searching your heart and what is purpose in your heart, praying to God, growing in truth, loving one another, it's a beautiful thing, and we will continue to become our conditional, area of our temple of God. I surely know that you will feel on a regular basis that you can see the amazing workings of His grace. Okay, Sorry, well, it's Bart rambling there at the end. Closing, quick word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so very much for this time, and I thank you so very much for all those coming together. Father, I thank you for allowing me the opportunity to share truth to the best of my ability. And I hope that the one thing we all can take from this is that you are not a God of confusion. You try so very hard through your grace and your love to make it as easy and clear, not easy, I'm sorry, Father, clear for us as possible. So I thank you again, Father. I thank you for all that come to support, be together, fellowship with one another, grow with one another. And I pray this in your Son's most precious name. Amen. What was the wrong one? Scott. Yes, sir. Ooh.